Before we unpack today's specific content, I'm going to be doing this all throughout this series. There's so much material. We could do 20 weeks on this. We're only going to do 10. And today, I want to give you two key truths building on your understanding of what the Bible means when it says that person is like a tree. So we talked last week that when you look at the image of a tree lives in two worlds at the same time. There's the above ground world, and then there's the below ground world. The above ground world we call the realm of service. This is your life with God that everyone sees, right? But below ground, we call it the realm of meditation. Why? We just read it. Blessed is man doesn't walk, sit, you understand? But then it says, his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, they meditate. Everybody say meditate. They meditate day and night. And when you meditate, you're engaging just you and God. You see? So that's the below ground, okay? That's your life with God that no one sees. That's the part of your life that is reserved just for you and Jesus. So here's truth number one. You need to be clear about this. You have to have great conviction about this for your life. The journey of blessing begins below ground. If you want to be blessed, I'm telling you right now, the journey of blessing begins below ground. There's a place just for you and God, and if you want to be blessed, that's where it all starts. You can have a ton of stuff above ground, but if you don't have anything with Jesus below ground, it's shallow, it's superficial, it won't satisfy. In the end, you'll still be weak, but how many know it is the will of God? What is the first word of Psalm 1? Blessed. Why? It's because God wants to bless you. My brothers and my sisters, God wants to bless you. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came that we might have life, and life more abundantly, life to the full. Hallelujah. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your family. He wants to prosper you. When you think about God, Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins, he rose from the dead in power, and he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to bless our lives. Anybody believe he wants to bless us? Hallelujah. Listen, the journey of blessing, it begins below ground, just you and God. And it's a powerful, remarkable invitation. If you don't develop your below ground life, then your above ground life, it just doesn't really make it. Okay? Some people, they have everything and they still feel like life is like an air sandwich. You see? But when you have a below-ground life with the Lord, we'll unpack it. It's powerful. It's wonderful. So that's the first thing. Now, when you look at this image, okay, it's very important that the way God makes you a blessing is as follows. You attach in private, and then you flow in public. Okay, this is real Christianity. This is what separates all other religions. No religion, no philosophy offers this. We attach to Jesus in private, and then we flow for Jesus in public. Amen. Everybody say attach and flow. Attach and flow is Christianity. You see, if you've ever experienced a moment when God used a person and they did something, you're like, oh, snap, what was that? There was something on them. You know what that was? That was the flow of the Holy Spirit. We attach and we flow. We tend to think that the flow of God is for people who stand up here, but the flow of God is for every tree. God wants to flow through our lives. Hallelujah. if you've ever felt like the Spirit of God on someone, one of the ways you describe that, that's called the anointing. But you know what? God wants every child of God to be anointed. Every single one of us to be dripping with the anointing of God. You attach in private, you flow in public. This is Christianity. This is God's plan for your life. Now, little attachment, little flow. Big attachment, big flow. You see? And this is why we grow like a tree. Let me give you two quick examples. Like, so it was Good Friday. Good Friday service. We plan on taking communion. So I walk through that door, and I walk through the door. I see a brother sitting over there. His name is Wale. I said, oh, there goes Wale. So I think to myself, oh, Wale's going to help me with the communion service, right? So Wale will pray. Now, I didn't send Wale an email 2 weeks before to say, you're going to pray today, okay? Like he did, and he didn't type out a prayer, you know? So, and then I looked over, oh, there's another one, okay. So I preached a sermon, and then I call them up. Right, one is going to pray for the cup, another one is going to pray for the bread. I didn't tell them which one. I just call them up. So Scott comes, Wally comes, Wally starts to pray for the bread, and what started to flow out of him was so anointed. I was thinking, I got distracted. I was like, I should have said that in the sermon. It's powerful. Both of them. I was like, oh, snap, let's go. You know why? Because we have the confidence. Every man of God in this house can have the flow of the Holy Spirit. Every woman of God, flow. Wherever you go, the flow of God can be on you. Look, here's another one. This is very cool. So one of the brothers in our church, his name is Robert Lee. His company shut down his Bible app. So he emails them and says, yo, what's up? Why did you shut down my Bible app? They're like, well, this has nothing to do with your job. So he sends back. He says, yes, it does. So they've typed back to him, well, how does it affect your job? He goes, I use this, right? I use the principles of the Bible to make this company prosperous. Guess what? They sent back and they unlocked the Bible app. Come on, somebody. Let's go. Now, when Robert woke up that morning, he didn't know that. You see? He didn't know that, but he didn't have to know that. What he needed to do is just attach in private and the flow would be given. The Bible, he told the disciples, they're going to arrest you. And don't worry, when you go before judges and when you go before kings, don't worry about what you're going to say, because words are going to be given to you and the anointing of God will be upon you. Hallelujah. That's God's will and way for his people. You know what you call that? You call that flow, right? I say that reverently. You attach in private. And you don't exactly know, but God knows. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Just because you didn't get to 3:00 in the afternoon doesn't mean Jesus is not already there. You see? And so, when you think about this, look, this is a remarkable offer and opportunity, every child of God. If you want a special kind of life, attach in private, and you don't even know it, and God is still using you. Anybody here ever been used and you didn't even know God was using you? Come on. So that's the plan of God for every single life. And I want to pray now, but please pay attention to me, right? Look, this is such an amazing invitation from the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're into right now, what you're struggling with. God already knows. You and I, we can't get out of the holes that we dig on our own. We can't get free from the ugly things in our personality, you know, unless we attach. But if we attach, then all things are possible through Christ Jesus. How many want that, the possibilities of attaching to Jesus? Hallelujah. So come on, let's lift our hands. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this service. Breathe on us. Help us to attach. Help us to experience the flow of God through your children. God, may you minister to every heart. Give faith and hope to every heart. God, give faith and hope to every life. No one is excluded and limited, oh God, if they just attach to you. So bless our time in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So now today we're going to look at the first kind of core principle of attaching to the Lord. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to jump over to John chapter 15. Because in John chapter 15, it's like Jesus is doing an MRI on the bottom of a tree. So now you're getting to a deeper look, right? From the image to now deeper look. So in John chapter 15, it's as follows. This is Jesus speaking. And by the way, as I read this, I want you to read it like he's speaking to you. Because he is. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to you online. Right? He said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you, everyone, remain in me. Attach. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, come on, read this with me, you will bear much fruit. It's the attachment that releases the fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and now there's a slight change, and my words remain in you, whatever you ask, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When you and I are fruitful, Jesus gets the glory. Does anybody here want to give Jesus glory? Then he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Come on, read this with me. Ready? Now remain in my love. So in this passage, Jesus is now showing us some of the keys down below of how we attach and literally how we anchor ourselves in Christ. The title of the message today is Your Anchor. Amen. Your Anchor. Now, it's important for us to understand that this is not just clever. This is the way God designed trees. Do you know that all trees have an anchor root? In fact, when a tree is when you sow a seed of an actual something that's going to become a tree, right, the first root that they grow is the anchor root. The primary function of roots, there's more than one, but is to anchor the tree for stability. See, you and I have to understand, if you get anchored in Christ, it doesn't matter what the forces are up above ground, hallelujah, you will stand, hallelujah. When you're anchored, you stand. You see, Christ is the only one who can really anchor us. Most trees have a singular, dedicated anchor root. And so Jesus here is instructing us on how to anchor. But what I love about it, remember, he's offering this to us. He's saying, remain in me. Right? The King of Glory is saying, you and me. That's what I want. You and me. No questions asked. You and me. You don't know what I did. I do know what you did. But I love you and I died for you. I paid the price. Even if people have put you down, I don't put you down. I came to lift you up. How many know Jesus came to lift us up? Hallelujah. Lift us up. That's who he is. How does all of that happen? We anchor ourselves by remaining in him. Now, to remain in him means to live in constant union with Christ. It means to stay put even though you're moving. Here's what it means. It means you can move your body, but still remain steady in Jesus. You see, we're trees, but we're like walking trees. We said that last week. You can move around, but even though you're moving around, you're still anchored to the Lord. How many believe that that's true? How many would say amen to that? Okay, this is where when you're praying in private, when you're clinging to God and you're attaching to God, you're anchoring in him. Now, spiritually and psychologically, the reason why this is so important is because Jesus must become your primary attachment figure. Now, all human beings develop on the basis of their relationships with attachment figures. So when a baby is born, their first attachment figures are their parents. And all of us know the truth about this, that how we're doing, good or bad, in most cases, is based on our relationship with our mom and dad, the presence of a mom, the absence of a mom, the presence of the dad, the absence. And then it goes on. Then we have relationships with friends. And then we get married. And then your spouse becomes your primary attachment figure. Relationships are vitally important to all human beings. And in a lot of ways, the state of our relationships is based on the state of our being is based on our relationships. You see, but the problem is that we're all fallen human beings. So our parents are not perfect, our friends are not perfect, our spouses are not perfect, and sometimes those relationships, they injure us. They hurt us, they wound us. And if we don't get free of those relationships, and how do you get free from the trauma of some relationship? Well, you have to change your attachment figure. When we change our attachment figure to Jesus, hallelujah, then healing flows, strength flows, transformation flows, and all of a sudden, even the people that hurt you can't hurt you the way they hurt you. Because now you have another anchor. Hallelujah, you're attached to Jesus, and when you attach to Jesus, it changes what's happening above ground. You see, the victory of your life begins by attaching below ground. If you attach to him, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what's been done. He is able to heal. He is able to transform. He's able to restore and renew. Hallelujah. All he's saying is just remain in me. Come to me. You see, and it's amazing how all of your relationships get better. And look, when you remain in private, you stand strong in public. And you could do this any place. You could do this anywhere. See, you could be at the office, and you could get insulted, or you could be betrayed, or off some kind of office politics thing, and you can go back, right? You can go back to your cubicle, and you could feel harassed, and you could feel angry and frustrated, but then you like, oh no, I am attached to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a kid, when I first got saved and my whole world was turned upside down, I was brokenhearted because of my career. I was losing my career. And I my favorite number was 41, so I raced through the Bible to find a verse that had the number 41. That's a really spiritual way to get edified. Right? But I hadn't been to church, I hadn't been to Bible study, I didn't know anything. I was on my own at the time until I started going to church. So anyway, I found Isaiah 41:10. It's like, do not fear, do not be dismayed, for I will be with you. I will uphold you and strengthen you with my righteous right hand. Right? And it was through that verse, I used to say that verse to me all the time and say, Lord, it doesn't matter what they're doing, it doesn't matter what they're saying, because you got me, Lord God. You're holding me. I'm in your hands. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, that dynamic in private will make you like a mountain in public. See? If you attach to him, then you're different. You're transformed. Here's the last thing I want to say about this. You know, sometimes people get pulverized by something like divorce. Why is divorce so devastating? Divorce is devastating because of all of the dynamics with attachment figures. A spouse, children are wounded. You know, a lot of kids, children of divorce, don't want to get married. You know? So, but that doesn't mean that just because your parents couldn't work it out doesn't mean that God doesn't have a blessed life for you. You see? It doesn't mean that he doesn't have a healthy family for you. You see, it doesn't mean that you have to repeat things like you're just because of your genetic orientation, you're like your mom and you're like your dad. See, because if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is attached to Christ, they are a new creation. Hallelujah. There's new genetic material. It's spiritual. It's powerful. And so that you live a new life. You see, when you attach to Christ, he becomes your source of love, your source of acceptance, your source of affirmation and identity. And I'm telling you, when he's your source of love, when he's your source of acceptance, when he's your source of affirmation and identity, you will stand strong no matter what the season, no matter what the struggle. You will stand strong for the glory of God. And it's a beautiful offer. You just attached to him. You seek him. You pray. He said, if you seek me, you will what? So first, he said, remain in him. Then another way that we attach is we remain in his word. The Bible, he says this. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. You see, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Now, here's the truth. It is impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. It's impossible to become privately healthy without a steady diet of the Word of God. Man shall not live on bread alone. Life comes by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of the living God. We need the Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can listen to all the sermons on the planet, including mine. I put mine at the lower level, but it doesn't matter. Sermons are not enough. You need the true blue word of God coming into your soul. Hallelujah. You start to feed yourself on the Word of God and you will be transformed. I can tell you, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years, and as soon as I got saved, I started serving in one way or another. And so I've been saying this for a lot longer than I've even been a pastor. Okay, I've said this to friends, I've watched it in my own life. I've said so many times to someone who was struggling, maybe they were depressed or discouraged or defeated. And I said, look, I don't know what to tell you, but here's what I know really, really works. Just read the Bible every day for 2 weeks. Never in 40 plus years of serving the Lord have I had one person come back to me after reading the Bible every day for 2 weeks or for 30 days. I'm telling you right now, every single time the person has actually done it. They always come back and say, look, my world is still crazy, but I'm doing better. I'm feeling good. Hallelujah. I'm good on the inside. Hallelujah. The journey of blessing begins below ground. So we need the Bible. Now I got this example is real time. So this was, maybe 3 weeks ago. I was like right here, it's Tuesday night prayer meeting. And I went to pray. I was praying over different people and I looked over and there was a brother who I know really well. I looked at him, and when I looked at him, I came to the conclusion that one of two things was going on. Either he was really going through a hard time, or he was sick. I don't know which one, but you know when you look at a friend, and you go, yo, they don't look good. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, they don't look good. This was Tuesday night. So Thursday comes around, and I hear that they rush him to the hospital, or that he went to the hospital, supposed to be a checkup, but when the doctor saw him, they said, no checkup, we're going in, right? And when they go in, they discovered that he had 90% blockage in one of the arteries of his heart. But what was crazy is, I didn't even know that, and then I spoke to him like Saturday. I heard that he went in on Friday, and I prayed, but then I spoke to him on Saturday, and there was like a lot of noise in the background. I'm like, dude, where are you? He's like, oh, I'm at work. I was like, are you crazy? He's like, no, I'm good, man, I'm good. And then I saw him on Sunday, literally like 5 days later, and his face, he wasn't gray anymore. He didn't look like this. He was like bright and strong. And you know why? Because when the blood started to flow. Now watch this. Come on, I got permission. This is no joke. This is an image of his heart. This happened at Northwestern. Okay, this is an image of his heart before, pre, and post. Now blow that up one more time for me. Now watch this. If you go right here, you see this little skinny, tiny line? Okay, that's 90% blockage. Okay, now the reason why when I saw him, he looked gray and he's kind of like this is because without the flow of the blood, there's no life. Come on, somebody say life flow. The blood is the life flow. But now when they repaired it, they put a stent in it. Look at how open and healthy this looks. So now, here's the thing. The Word of God is like blood flowing into a heart. When you have a steady flow of the Word of God, your countenance is good. But a lot of us, we're walking around like this spiritually. You know, if you're not taking in the Bible, it doesn't matter what you're doing. I don't care how many vitamins you take and supplements and exercise and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to your spirit, man, when it comes to what really makes you, you, hallelujah. Why are you depressed? Why are you angry? Why are you frustrated? You know why? It's because there is not enough life flow. But how many know when the Word of God flows, hallelujah, you get life. His Word is life. His Word is life. His Word heals. His Word transforms. His Word will absolutely transform your life. And that's why we must, if they could send me a keyboard player, we must become self-feeders. Self-feeders. We're not doing this well if you're not reading the Bible on your own. We have to read the Bible every day. Every day, read your Bible. How many would say amen to that? See, the Word of God is living and powerful. The Word of God doesn't just give you information for your head. It gives you life and strength for your spirit. Give us this day our daily bread. The daily bread, first and foremost, is the Word of God. And so the way we anchor is we anchor in Him. We go to Him. We pray to Him. But we need the Word of God. And notice that it says, remain in my words and then ask whatever you wish. You'll get the answer. You know why? It's because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You see? So when you get filled with the Word, there is a natural flow that starts to come out of you even when you're talking to God. This is not about culture. Christianity is about a living relationship. It's about you and the Lord in the secret place. When you go home and you sit at your kitchen table, how many know Jesus is right there at your kitchen table? Hallelujah. If you travel, you're at some hotel, right? Before you turn on that TV, Jesus is right there. Hallelujah. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You understand? And when you take in the Word, it makes you strong. Makes you strong. How do we attach? We attach by remaining in Him, but we also attach by remaining in His Word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, look, last thing I'll say on this, almost done. So the Bible says, and on His law He meditates day and night. Now the opposite of meditate is ruminate. Ruminate is when we take negative thoughts and we cycle. You know what they did to me? You know I don't like him. You know why I don't like him? I don't like him because of what he did to me. You know, he shouldn't have done that to me. And on and on and on and on. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Right? You just play over. Negative, 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 critical, negative, put down, criticize, anger, sadness, all of these ugly thoughts, rumination. Rumination makes you sick. Meditation makes you healthy, just like a tree. Hallelujah. On His law, He meditates day and night. What happens when you're thinking about the Bible? And you can think about the Bible in light of what people did. You could think about the Bible in light of what's going on. But if you're meditating on the Bible, your spirit is getting built up. Even if you're getting beat up. Life can beat us up sometimes. But when we fill ourselves with the Word. So He gave us three remains. Remain number one is remain in Him. That's your basic relationship prayer life with God. Remain number two is we remain in His Word. That's when you're taking in the Word of God. Right? That's why we gave you that magnet. So you can fill yourself with Psalm 1. And then number three is we remain in His love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Isn't that the most beautiful offer? That we can remain in the unconditional love of God? Do you know that on your worst day, the love of God doesn't even drop 1%? the love of God remains steady towards you. He is unchangeable. There's no shadow of turning with him. He might, from that loving place, say, oh, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Just, you know, more to clean up. You know, mop up in aisle 7. Like, oh, we got to come mop this up. But love, not even a shade of change. Now, how do we love God? There's a variety of ways. But essentially, the most basic way we love God, and there's a lot of verses on this topic, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. Right? So when that's the case, the most basic expression of love to God is worship. You see? When you really love the Lord, when you really feel in love with the Lord, don't you find yourself saying, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Something is going on and you just see the goodness of God on your life. You're like, thank you, Lord. Right? I love you, Lord. See, love is always expressed through worship. Right? Right? There's something about that name. I don't know the words. There's something, na na na. La da 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 da. Right? But make up the words. Just say, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love your name. Hallelujah. I love your name. See, when you love him, right, it not only blesses him, but it actually blesses you. See, every human being needs to love and be loved. When you love the one who loves you unconditionally, you emerge from it in your best place. There's no insecurity, there's no doubt, and there's something that happens to your soul as you just love the Lord. Can I tell you something? It's love in private that leads to obedience in public. Right? I'm telling you right now, love in private leads to the flow of God in public. You want to be anointed? Just love on the Lord in the morning. Right? I want to encourage you, go home. It's just you and him. It's an audience of one. But it's better than having an audience of 10 million. Hallelujah. Just Jesus there waiting for you. My sisters, love on the Lord. When you go home, just say, Jesus, I love you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. You got my life in my hands. You got my future in your hands, oh God. You got me, Lord. You got me. I'm telling you right now. Almost done. Like, you ever think about David and Goliath? Come on. This little bro like this. Big giant like that. Everybody's afraid. He steps out. A giant is there. Giant is giving him threats. Listen to what he said. He said, well, two things. No, I'm going to tell you this one first. Let's go with the public first. So he says, you come at me with sword and javelin, right? Threats. Called him a little dog. He said, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And this day, hallelujah, I will take you down. Right? Now, that's a cool story, but that's a real story. Right? You got a giant in your life? God can make you ready for that giant. okay? So now, when David's like, I'll go. You guys are afraid to go? I'll go. Isn't that what this world needs? Doesn't this world need somebody's God? I'm going to step out and I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to show his love. I'm going to declare his word. I'm going to fight the good fight. Telling you right now, no politician is going to do it. But a father full of the word of God, full of the love of God, will transform generations. Hallelujah. They're like, how are you going to go fight that giant? David's like, I'm good, man. You see, when I used to take care of the sheep, I am convinced David wrote most of the Psalms. I am convinced most of the Psalms were written in private when he was just out there. And he said, look, when the lion and the bear came along and they were circling, and I was like, I'm their shepherd. Who's my shepherd? And I believe the Lord whispered to his soul and said, I'm your shepherd. Go fight that lion. I'll be with you. You don't understand what it is to live until that happens to your spirit. You see? But that's what God has for you. God has battles. Yes, there will be battles. But God has whispers for your spirit that will make you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Where are you going to get that strength from? It's when you go home today and you just start singing to him.